I don't think the Lord has ever allowed me to preach out of this passage of Scripture before. Not that I recall, anyway. I know I've taught out of it at home. Devotional time with my wife and son. We started to go through the book of Song of Solomon, and then things went sideways, and so that ended up stopping. But this is a great passage of Scripture, and we're really only going to look at just a few verses this evening. But this is God's love letter. We read this passage of Scripture, and if you read through the entire book of Song of Solomon, there's some good typology in there for husband and wife and marital relations and that kind of thing, and talk about how to care for each other and how to love each other. But what we're going to look at this evening is found in just the first four verses. Let's read them. The Bible says, "The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee." Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. We do thank you for the word of God. And Lord, tonight we know that you do love us. You've proved it on the cross. You sent your son to die in our place. And Heavenly Father, you care more for us than we could ever express or ever understand. And tonight we ask you, Lord, that as we look at just these few verses right here, we ask you, Father, that you would work in our hearts to show us just how great your love truly is for us. And Father, help us to try and love you back. And Lord, many times in our flesh we have a hard time with that. And so we ask you, Father, just to put our flesh down tonight. And Heavenly Father, we ask you, God, for grace to preach. And Lord, that thy will would be accomplished, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was studying this, it's been quite some time. This one's actually been riding around in my Bible for a long time. And the Lord never gave me opportunity to actually preach it. And as I started to study it, I read the first verse, and it says, "The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's." And each of us tonight should have a similar song in our heart. A song that's only toward one person. You know, my wife and I, we've been married coming up on 27 years now, but to be quite honest with you, there's a love that should be even closer than a marital love, and that's the love between us and our Savior. Now, we know that if we read this particular passage in context, it's talking about a marital love, and we need to be cautious this evening, especially with the children present, but what we need to understand, though, is that each of us should have a song. We know that the Bible tells us that God has put a new song in our heart. He even prays unto our God. And so tonight, as we look at this, we should try to put our love in words. Now, I don't know if any of you, I make a mock at songs a lot. My wife, she kind of laughs at me. I'll take a song that's well-known and ruin it just in a few seconds. Either by not singing it properly or by changing words. I'm notorious for doing that, but this is a song that only you can write. This is a song that nobody else can come up with. I've never sat down and tried to compose a song. My son has, and he's actually pretty good at it. But I've never done that. I've never tried to sing my love back to God. And the Song of Solomon here is a love story, and many times we don't express to God the love that we should have. The love that we say that we have many times is not what it is. Many times we say it's far greater than what we truly experience. And we come to this place where our love grows cold. Our love is stagnant sometimes, and that's not where it's supposed to be. For a man that died in our place, for a God that loved us enough to send his son, that's not sufficient. We need to have this song. We need a song that is just ours. I was studying this afternoon, and I was reading about a new name. You know, when we get to heaven, God's going to give us a new name, and he's going to give us a new song. But it'd be nice to have a song to be able to sing back to him. He's worthy of everything. When we think of how much he did in our place, it should cause us to want to worship him. And we talked a little bit about worship and praise this morning, but this is a way that only you can express. I can't write Brother Tom's song for him. Only he knows what God's done for him. And we may see bits and pieces in each other's lives, especially a husband and a wife. You know, I see how God has blessed my wife and that kind of thing. And so a little bit I might know, as she would say, sing the song to God, I may know a couple of the verses, but I probably won't know the entire song. And this is what we need to try to do in our heart is to come to this place where we worship God and to compose for him something that's beyond anybody else. And I want you to look this evening at the next three verses and what Solomon's wife says. And I want us to understand how she felt toward him. Notice in verse number 2, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. There is maybe no more intimate way for somebody to show their love than to give them a kiss. Now, get away from the carnal idea or the marital relation style action of this, but in their day, they would come to somebody, they would be greeting them even in the market, and even two men would come and they'd kiss each other on the cheek. You still see it today. Or they would kiss each other's hand or something along those lines, and it was a form of greeting. But this is something beyond that. This is a closeness, an intimacy that can't be had with anybody else. When we ask God to kiss us, we're asking him to draw close. You know, you can't kiss somebody from afar. It just doesn't work. It'd be hard for me to give my wife a kiss from here tonight. That just isn't going to work out real well. And so it involves this intimacy, this closeness. And when we come close to the Lord, when we begin to draw close to him, and some of the message this morning, we begin to get the things that are in the way, the sins in our lives and the little gods and that kind of stuff that's in our life, when we get them out of the way, we begin to draw closer to the Lord, and it creates an intimacy between us and him, that it's a special place. It's a place that nobody else can take, and we need that this evening. We see it used in greeting here that she wants, this wife, she wants her husband to come and to kiss her. You know, the Bible tells us that we're to desire to kiss the Son of God. Scripture tells us in Psalm 2 and verse number 11 and 12, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Scripture says, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Kiss the Son. You know, we should want to be that intimate with the Lord, that close to him, to be able to spend time with him, to spend fellowship with him. There's no greater joy that I have as a husband than to be able to spend a day with my wife. We don't need to be about anything special or anything physical even. We could be driving through town or driving from here to there. It doesn't matter. Just a simple act of spending time with each other is something that my wife and I, we count precious. Now, there are a lot of people that they can spend time with each other and still not be together. I've been like that. My wife sometimes even says, you know, you were kind of far off today. You were kind of distant. And when we get to the place where we've got so much on our mind and we've got these things going through our head, we talked about our brain being in a blender this morning, and I spend that way a lot. I'm just caught up in the thoughts of my mind, and my heart is picking at this, that, and the other thing, trying to decide what's going on and seeing what God's doing. And you get so focused on that you lose attention to what's going on around you. And my wife, we can be sitting in the living room side by side, and we could still be in two separate worlds. You know, God doesn't want us to be like that. He wants us to be intimate with him, wants us to be close to him, a place where you could come alongside and the Lord can, as Scripture says, the Lord would have spread his wings over the nation of Israel and gathered you as a hen gathereth her chicks. But, you know, if we're not close to him, we can't do that. It's kind of hard for a chick to decide it wants to walk on its own when mom's out there with her wings spread in a rainstorm and he says, no, I'd rather stand out here in the rain. We get like that, and we don't need to be like that. Our love is something that we've got to cultivate. This particular passage of Scripture here is it's a marital song, and a song talking about loving our husband. God is our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Scripture that we are the bride. And guys, it may sound kind of weird, and if you're trying to explain it to a lost person, they ain't going to get it. They just aren't going to understand. What do you mean, your husband? And in today's society, that might not be such a strange thing, but you know, in days gone by, you know, yeah, I don't know about this guy. He says he's in love with a guy. I don't know. But with the Lord Jesus Christ, we're supposed to be in love with him, and we should want to be close to him. You know, Scripture in Luke chapter 7, verse number 44 and 45, Jesus has a woman that comes to him and she begins to anoint him. And the Bible says in Luke 7:44, and he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Verse number 45 says, thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. She wanted to be close to the Lord. She wanted to be in a personal space with him. You know, we talk in our society today so much about personal space or boundaries. You know, get back, you're invading my personal space. But that's the place where we want to be with God. That's the safest place for us. It's the most... It's our comfort place. It's my special place. You know, that's the place that we should want to be. When a husband and a wife get into bed, maybe the wife lays her head on her husband's chest and she goes, I'm in my special place. That's the way it's supposed to be. And that's the way we should want to be with God. We should want to draw close to him. And we see it lived out in the life of Jesus Christ at that Last Supper. When we see John, we hear him called John the Beloved. And the Bible says that he rested his head on Jesus' bosom. Guys, there is no more intimate place to be than that. And that is the place that we need to be, getting in close so that he can kiss us. We need to have that. You know, sometimes it seems as if the kisses that the Lord gives to us are just little pecks on the cheek when we open the Word of God and we read a passage of Scripture and go, oh man, that's precious. That's special to me. And it's like being kissed on the cheek by the Lord. And we need that. And if you're not in the Word of God, you're not going to have that. You're not going to find that. We've got to have that intimacy with him. This verse, it says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. You guys, I spent many years chasing after drink. I know what it's talking about here. Something special. You see, those that chase after drink, they may have peace and happiness for a little while, but when it begins to wear off, that euphoric effect disappears and a depression begins to set in. God doesn't do that. When we spend time with the Lord, he's better than wine. He's better than anything this world could ever provide for us. While it may taste good, the Bible says that the pleasures of sin are there's pleasure in sin for a season. But you know something, when we come to that place where we'd rather spend time with the Lord, those little dainties that the world wants us to partake of, God's far better. We see it, we just saw it just a week ago, not even a week ago. Well, right at a week ago. New Year's Eve. What does everybody do? They raise a glass of some kind of bubbly and they find comfort in that. And Scripture here is telling us that just spending time with our husband, with our Savior, is better than that. It's better than the effect that it feels like. You know, so many people try to drown their sorrows in alcohol and that kind of thing, and you'll never truly drown them. They'll never go away. They always come back, and the next day they're worse than they were the day before. But when we go to the Lord and we drown our comforts in his love, our discomforts in his love, we get a comfort back that can't be explained. We should want this. We should desire this. We don't want something that's simply going to make fun of us the next morning. We want the Lord. We need to spend time with him. Notice what it says in the next verse. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as an ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Thy name is as an ointment. There is a passage of Scripture that talks about a balm in Gilead. You know, that we all understand this evening what a balm is or an ointment. It's a creamy substance that you use to heal some illness that you've got. God is not just like that. He is that to us. It says, the savor of thy good ointments, thy name, just the name of God, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I tell you what, when you get to that place where you're so discouraged that nobody can make you happy and nothing else satisfies you, somebody just coming along and mentioning the name of your Savior is enough to lift your spirits. And that's important to us this evening. We get into so many different things in our life, and we get discouraged. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I get discouraged at the drop of a hat. It's like, doesn't matter whose hat either. I don't care. You just going through this thing, and you're like, oh, man, here I am again. I'm in this place, and somebody comes along, and they're, can I tell you what Jesus did for me today? And you're like, yeah, tell me. I want to hear it. And it lifts us up. God's name is as a balm. Listen, Scripture tells us that God's name takes away even the sting of death. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 52 through 57, in the first part of it, it talks about in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and how that we're going to be caught away. You get down to verse number 54, and the Bible says, So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is, that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what we're going through, His name is enough to get us through it. Even when we come to that place where we are preparing to draw our last breath. I have a fondness for a book called Fox's Book of Martyrs. And if you've ever read it, and I don't mean the new version, I mean the old version. This is a book that's got some stories in it about people that loved the Lord, and they died with His name on their lips. They died in horrible ways, but you know something? They found a comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ that nobody else could give them in a time like that. When we come to this place where we don't have anything, any remedy in this world that will take care of the problem, just His name is sometimes enough. We need Him, and we need His presence. We need Him to understand what it means to truly love the Lord. This verse says, the virgins love thee. The virgins love thee. Time and time again throughout Scripture, we read that word virgins, and we see it in parables that are told about the wise and the foolish virgins, and we see many other instances, but God is often using the word virgins to refer to those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. We're pure, not literally physically in this world, I understand that, but spiritually speaking, we're pure. We've been cleansed from all of our sin. God has taken him and cast him as far as the east is from the west. He's buried him in the depths of the sea to remember them no more. Guys, the virgins love thee. We're supposed to love God. If nobody else in this world does, we're supposed to. John chapter 14 and verse number 15, the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now this is a simple way for us to prove to God that we truly love him. It's easy for us to say, yeah, I love you. I love you. My wife and I, if I tell her all the time that I love her, but I never thank her for the food that she's provided for me, that she's prepared for me. God provided it, but she prepared it. If I never thank her for the things that she does for me, if I never give her little tokens of my love, how is she to know that? How is she to understand that I love her? It's the same with the Lord. If we come to tell the Lord, hey, I love you. Lord, I love you more than anything. What have we got that we can say that we can prove that with? We need to say to this evening, we love the Lord and have something to back it up. We are to love the Lord. Notice, Notice the next verse. Verse number 4. I told you this probably wouldn't take too long. Verse number 4. The Bible says, "Draw me. We will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee." Notice that first here it says, "Draw me." You see, we serve a perfect gentleman this evening. We love a perfect gentleman. God's not going to force us. We know that he's got the ability to do so. If he really wanted to, he could make us do anything. He could make us bow at his feet. We read in Scripture how that certain people in the Bible just fell prostrate at the feet of some angel that they met. If that's the case, how much more the Son of God? How much more should we want to prostrate ourselves? God could force us, but yet he doesn't do that. He wants us to volunteer to do it. He wants us, he says, come. He draws us. The Scripture tells us in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse number 3, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." God's not like some of the jokes that we tell or some of the stories that we've heard in the past. I heard this joke about a blind man standing on the street corner, and he's got his seeing eye dog, and the dog waters on his leg, and he grabs a treat from his pocket and he reaches down and he gives the dog a treat. And God doesn't do this, and I'm thankful. He reaches down and gives this dog a treat, and this guy's standing there, and he goes, "Why did you just give this dog a treat?" He goes, "I need to figure out which end to kick." Now, that's not the way God does us. Now, thank God God doesn't do that. He doesn't reward us just so that he can figure out how to punish us. No, God draws us close. And, you know, when you have a pet that's loose and you say, "Come here," you know, and you draw it to yourself, and then the next thing you do, you snap a leash on that dude. He's not real happy about that. That's not what God does either. God doesn't draw us close just to find some way to hem us in or to punish us or that kind of thing. No, God is drawing us close so that he can spend time with us. He wants it more than we do. Guys, when we read in Scripture back in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, we read how that Adam and Eve walked in the garden in the cool of the day with the Lord. We don't truly understand the simple fact that this wasn't their choice. They couldn't say, "Hey, God, come here a minute. I want to talk to you." That ain't the way it was. God came to them. He came down just to see, "Hey, Adam, what are you doing today? What you been?" Not like he didn't know. He just wanted to spend time with them. Guys, that's what God wants. He just wants to spend time with us. Draw me. Just come to me. You know, even today, we've still got that promise in Scripture. You know, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's a promise from God. He just says, "Just come to me. I'll take care of it." When we were little and we run into a problem, my brother and sister and I, my sister's 2 years younger than me, and my brother was 5 years younger than me. And when somebody would go and pick on one of the other two, they'd come running to big brother. "Hey, he's bothering me." You know what my job was? To go and beat him up. It was my job to go and defend them. You know something? That's God saying, "Come unto me. Bring your problems to me and I'll take care of them. You can't handle them anyway." The things that I find myself mixed up in my mind and in my heart, I have no way to take care of. I've got no way that I can affect them, and yet I still allow them to affect me. Instead of being the smart person that I'm supposed to be, you claim you got an IQ of whatever, and then you decide, "Hey, you know something? I'd rather bear this burden myself." That's not too smart. Instead of saying, "Lord, you said come unto me." Scripture says, "Cast all your burdens upon me. Just give them to me. Give them to me." Man, he's got bigger shoulders than we got. The Lord, he can take care of all of it. He just says, "Follow me." We read about it in Luke chapter 9. "Take up your cross daily and follow me. Just follow me." The Lord's saying, "That's not too much. You know, I'm not going to put too much on you." We know that the Bible tells us that if we find ourselves in a place where there's too much temptation in our life, God will provide a way of escape. He's never going to... Uh-oh. Security alert. Danger, danger. That's not good. Yeah, this is only a test. Yeah, weather alert or something. You're fine, sis. It's not bothering me. I'm not. I promise. I'm not going to do like some of the other preachers. I know you owe me a bucket of chicken. But God tells us if we'll simply bring our problems to Him, He'll take care of all of them. This verse says, "Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers." Guys, do you realize that God wants to take us to a special place? This isn't just talking about a bedroom. This can be your prayer closet. This could be your car driving down the road. This could be a hilltop when you're out hunting. I don't know about you guys, but you go out and you spend time in the woods and you're up there and you're like, man, God made all this. And you just want to sit down and think about that. And you're like, God, look what you've made. And you have to get into this place where you're in a private time with God and you can talk to Him and you can pray and you can say, Lord, I've been into this today and I've had this going on, and we can give it all to Him, and then we can rejoice over what He's done or what He's going to do. You realize that when we take a prayer to the Lord, we can walk away from that prayer request as if it's already answered. God's got the ability to take care of it. He's going to do it, whatever He wants. He's going to handle it after the counsel of His own will, Scripture teaches us. Guys, we just need to come to that place, into this chamber, and spend time with Him. Some of these places, they don't even have to be private time. I think of one of the days that I remember the most is a day just a couple of years ago that my wife and I spent down in Huntington with a crazy lady with a camera. And we're down there, she's taking pictures, and we're having a blast. Man, I tell you what, it was a good time in the Lord that day. And that's what we each need. We need to come to a place where we find a special place with the Lord. And it doesn't matter where it's at, but look for it and find it in your life. Notice here in this passage of Scripture, it says, "We will be glad and rejoice in thee." When's the last time we just stopped and said, Lord, thank you. Lord, you did this. We go to the Lord every week here at church, and almost always we go, Lord, we need. Lord, I need. Lord, this needs, they need. We've got to have, Lord, and they need over there, and Lord, provide. And that's all we're ever doing is we're asking. And there's nothing wrong with asking. I'm not criticizing us for that. But there's got to come a time where we rejoice. Psalm 9 and verse number 2, the Bible says, "I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high." If we got nothing else to rejoice in, Psalm 13 gives us the perfect thing. "But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation." Guys, we're saved. No matter what happens in this life, this is the worst it's ever going to get. You get run over by a car tomorrow and breaks 2/3 of the bones in your body, it's the worst it's ever going to get. You die and draw your last breath, it's the best it's ever going to get. You know something? That's what we need to remember. We need to rejoice, and no matter what our circumstance might be, that God is able and that this world is not our final home. We're going to get to go to heaven one of these days, and we're going to be able to thank Him in person. Now, I'm not in a hurry to get there. I'm not going to step out in front of a Mack truck to get there tonight. But you know something? I'm looking forward to the day when I can meet my Savior face to face and to be able to kneel at His feet and say, Lord, thank you for saving me. I'm not worthy, but thank you for saving me. We need to do that even here. Have you ever heard the phrase, practice makes perfect? You see kids and they begin to play some sport, baseball or whatever, and you watch this kid, he gets up to bat the first time and he whiffs 3 in a row and he's out. He gets up the next time and he whiffs twice, but on that third one, man, pow, knocks that dude out of the park. You know something? That's the way we get better. When we practice praising God here, can you imagine how much better it's going to be when we get to heaven? When we get up there, the restrictions that we've got in this life right now that cause us not to praise God will not be there anymore. We're not going to have the aches and pains to say, oh, my back. And I'm not criticizing, sis, trust me. I wake up in the morning the same way myself. We're not going to have that. We're not going to say, oh, man, I'd praise the Lord today, but my back is killing me. Guys, I get like that. I think each and every one of us do. We've got something. For me, it's my knees. Lord, I'd praise you today, but, man, my knees are killing me. We're not going to have excuses when we get there. All of these things that are in our way today are going to be gone, and we're going to be able to praise Him the way that we're supposed to, but we should at least be practicing now. Notice in this verse, I lost my place. There it is. We will remember thy love more than wine. Our memories are such a fragile thing. They should be precious to us. I know people, and my wife has family members that have suffered from dementia. And it is cruel. It takes away the memories. And if any of you know somebody, then you know what I'm talking about. They forget the people that they love. I've heard stories. I've never met anybody personally. I don't remember. But I've heard stories of people that would walk in and their children would walk up to them and they'd say, who are you? But yet at the same time, if that child were to turn around and say, do you remember Jesus? That they remember. Now, I've heard stories of that and I've never met one and I'd love to. But you know something? That's what God is supposed to be to us. We are supposed to remember His love. If we don't spend time thinking about certain things, we forget them. The special moments that we each have had with our children. You think back to some special event in your child's life and you'll probably never forget it because it made an impact in your life. It was something that was extremely memorable. And you find yourself time and time again going back and reflecting on it. And every time you go back and reflect on it, it seems just a little bit more special. When we spend time with the Lord, that's the way our time with Him is supposed to be. Psalm 42 and verse number 4, the Bible says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. The psalmist David said, I remember going to the house of God. Is coming to the house of God something memorable for you? Or is it just another something that you do? Is opening your Bible and studying it something memorable for you? Or is it something that you're just doing out of habit? I've got to admit that many times for me, it's been out of habit. But those special times that you've sat down and God has opened a passage of Scripture up to you and shown you something in it that no man has ever shown you. It's just God saying, hey, look at this. And all of a sudden that light comes on and you're like, man, that's cool. That's neat. I like that. That you remember. Now, I've got passages of Scripture that the Lord has not allowed me to commit to memory because my brain is soup. But passages that I have preached from that I can remember the message because it was something memorable. And guys, we need those. We need to remember what God has done for us. Remember thy love. Notice it says at the end of this verse that the upright love thee. The upright love thee. We talked about the virgins loving him at the beginning of the message. And here it says the upright. There is a difference. There are a lot of people that are saved. They're virgins, okay? They've been cleansed. They've been washed from their sin. They've been forgiven. But they've never come to the place where they're upright. Their life is still out of whack. They're continually walking in known sin. They claim to know Jesus Christ as Savior, but their life does not reflect it. There are a lot of people like that. This one's saying, those that are upright love thee. Those who have dedicated their life to doing everything within their power to live for the Lord. And I'll be quite honest with you, they're few and far between. There are very few people that if you examine their life carefully, you'll find that they truly line up. You see, loving God as an upright person is totally different, because that person recognizes truly what God has done. It's not just saying, hey, he saved me. It's knowing what they were that he saved them from. Let me read this verse. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 24. The Bible says, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. To the Ephesians, written from Rome by Tychicus. Now, do we truly love the Lord? Have we come to the place where we're willing to get rid of our ideas and just follow the Lord? Are we willing to fall so in love with Him that He means more to us than anything, more than our necessary food we read in Scripture? Is our Lord so important to us that we want to spend so much time with Him that we would gladly give up our next breath for Him? Are we willing to die for Him? And I'm not talking about Jim Jones kind of thing where we're passing out Kool-Aid. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about coming to a place where your desires are no longer what your desires used to be. When I was in high school, I took architectural drafting. I wanted to be an architect, and I was good at it. I was very good at it. I wasn't the top of my class, but I was pretty good. But you know something? There came a point when I knew I was not going to be able to go to college to be an architect. And so my plans had to change. That kind of change in our life is what I'm talking about. When you're willing to lay aside what you wanted for what God wants. At that point in my life, I was laying aside what I wanted for something that would suffice. It would provide me with a paycheck for many years. I wasn't happy about it. Today, I still wonder what would have happened. But you know something? Today, am I willing to lay aside what I want so that God can have what He wants? Not my will, but thine be done. And we really need to do that if we're truly going to enjoy being close to the Lord. When you get up in the morning and God says, I want you to read your Bible this morning. Guys, I've struggled with this. I've asked Brother Larry to pray with me about it because I have to be to work at 6:30 every morning. Getting up that early, that means I've got to be up no later than 5:30 just to be able to be ready to walk out the door on time. Having study time that early in the morning is very difficult for me. Am I willing to do what it takes to prove to the Lord that I love Him, to be close to Him, to spend time with Him, to let Him kiss me in the morning? Rita's got this thing at the house. I don't even know where it's at right now. Is it still hanging up on the wall in the bedroom? Kiss me before we say goodnight kind of thing. Always kiss me goodnight. I knew she'd know what it said. But are we willing to do that for the Lord? Kiss Him good morning. I don't know about you guys, but I want to be more in love with the Lord than I ever have been. We're in a brand new year. We've got opportunities to do things different this year than we did last year. And I've been taking some steps to try to improve my walk with the Lord, and I want to walk better. I want to be closer to Him. I just want to be in that spot where at a moment's notice He could just put His arm around me. You know, I want to be there where He can comfort me. I want to be in that close place. I want to be in that place where some of you ladies have found yourself, man, your hair smells good. You know, I want to be in that place. You know, it's kind of an inside joke. Some of the ladies give Rita a hug and she goes, they told me again that my hair smells good. So, that's the kind of place I want to be with God. I want to be in that place where I say, Lord, your hair smells good. Lord, you're precious to me this morning. Lord, I love you more than life. I don't know about you guys, but tonight I felt that we really needed to be encouraged, and I struggled between this message and another one. But I believe this is what the Lord would have us to have tonight. We need to fall in love with Him. And it doesn't matter who ends up behind this pulpit. If you're in love with the Lord, that's all that matters. That's easy for me to say, but it's hard to live. And tonight, all I can ask you guys to do is to decide whether you're even willing to want to be that close to the Lord. It does come at a cost. It comes at a cost of your own will, your own desires. Let the Lord's will be done. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. We thank you for the Word of God. And Heavenly Father, we ask you, God, that you just draw close to us. And Heavenly Father, we do need you. We need you more than anything. And tonight, we ask you, Father, to comfort us as we go to our homes and help us to enjoy our time with you. And Father, increase our faith tonight. We ask you, Lord, that you just move, we pray. And Heavenly Father, just let your will be done, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.